morning. Hope everybody's air conditioners are working and their fans are plugged in. It sounds like it's going to be another fun week. My air quit last night, so pray for me. And my husband, who will be working outdoors for 5 solid days with new staff at the Sheriff's Department. So it's not going to be a real pleasant week. Be a lot of fanning going on, probably. Richard, as you can see, is not here this morning. He's been hitting the wheat hard and heavy, and he will be there this afternoon for cleanup, which is on the back of your bulletin. You can see all of the different meetings and everything that's coming up. And this Wednesday from 6 to 8 at Doorfield will be the last week for Vacation Bible School. It's my understanding the last 2 weeks they've had over 40 children, so that's great. And I'm sure they'll have another great turnout this week to wrap things up. And, of course, you need to cheer your ball team on Monday and Thursday. On our prayer concerns, we can be very thankful. We've got Bev and Suzanne here today, so prayers are being answered. And I ask that you continue to keep Ginny in your prayers. She starts radiation tomorrow. She'll be having that done in Marlette for 5 days and then weekend off, and she'll go another 5 days. So keep her in your prayers. She's having some good days and some not so good days. So, and then also, I'm sure you saw the box back in the back. For anyone that got one of the surveys, you can just drop that in the box. And they're not, we are asking that they're all turned in by next week on the 30th. So, and then Bobby had, there she is, given me a little note about the House of Hope fundraiser, which is on August 4th at the courthouse. It'll be a bake sale. If you bring them, they ask that you would pre-pack them and not do more than 4 to 6 to a bag. Like if you make cookies or brownies or whatever, that's what they would like. They'll price them, so you don't have to worry about that. And if you have any questions, you can see Bobby. Yep. For those who didn't hear, if you don't want to just wait and take them to the courthouse, you can take them to Bobby's place. She lives right behind the post office. Fulton and Speaker? Fulton and Lincoln. Blue house right on the corner. So you can do that, and there will be music and some things going on. So just mark that on your calendar. And speaking of calendars, we have birthdays to celebrate. On the 25th, Beth Mavis. The 26th, Al Nickel. May Send also has one on the 26th. And Cheyenne Harnick will be on the 27th. So we'll sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
We also have anniversaries this week. On the 25th is Zach and Molly Thurnow and Joe and Veronica Potestivio. And on the 29th is Ron and Marilyn Payne.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary.
And, of course, we want to welcome Chad Shoemaker today, who definitely can make this piano dance, literally. So we're thrilled to have you, Chad, and it's like he's never left. He knew right when to get going on Happy Birthday and the whole 9 yards. So old habits are hard to break sometimes. Craig, I was hoping you'd say that time was up, and it's not. I tried as late as I could, and I just, ooh. Some Sunday, we're going to have this all together.
You don't know how to tap dance?
I do, but I don't have my tap shoes on. You've tried that before, Lynn, and it didn't work. Okay, well, I think we'll just go ahead and stand for our praise songs. 176, Majesty, worship His Majesty, and then we'll go right into 177, He is Lord. Stand if you're able. That was phenomenal when I'm standing up here hearing those voices. That's great. You can have a seat for just a minute. Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Deb Darling, your worship leader for this morning. We will now have our call to worship so you can stand again. A little exercise going on today. None other than the house of God. This is nothing less than the gate of heaven.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
God hems us in, behind and before, and lays hands of blessing upon us.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is so high we cannot attain.
Rest in the majesty of our God. Give thanks and sing of God's glory.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in
this place. Bow with me. Caretaker of our souls, you search us and you know us. You are acquainted with all of our ways. Your spirit hems us in behind and before. You discern our thoughts from afar. If we take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead us and your might shall hold us fast. How can we bear such wonder? How can we fathom such awe and splendor? Breathe your spirit upon us and claim us as your children of light, that we might be found worthy of your love and care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our opening hymn is number 314, In the Garden.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Since we have no children, I'm going to invite Deb to come up and do the Old Testament reading. I'm sure those boys don't want to come up. They don't think they're children anymore. I don't blame them. But we're all children, aren't we? No matter what our age is. Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading is Genesis 28. 10 through 19a, Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
This week we're praying for Van Alstine Truck and Equipment is our business that we will keep in prayer all week. I want to remind you that the altar is always open. You don't have to wait for me to say that invitation. Just know that you are always welcome to come to the altar and pray. Or if kneeling is not your thing and you want to sit in the front pew, just so that you are up to the altar, that's perfectly wonderful as well. Know that that's always available. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning. Gracious God, you are our rock and you are our shield. You are our comforter in times of trouble and in times of joy. You are the caretaker of our souls, and you search us and you know us. You are acquainted with all of our ways. Your spirit hems us in behind and before. You discern our thoughts from afar. If we take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead us, and your might shall hold us fast. How can we bear such wonder? How can we fathom such awe and such splendor? Breathe your spirit upon us and claim us as children of light, that we might be found worthy of your love and care. We thank you, Lord, for those that you have brought back to us. We praise you for your healing touch. And we ask that you continue that healing within our hearts and minds and spirits. Lord, the days can be tough. The world can be rough. But you are our constant. You're our rock. You're our shield. We call upon you, Lord, for our strength. We ask that you help us and hold us fast in your arms. Thank you, Lord, for hearing every single prayer, for especially looking into the hearts and seeing all of those unspoken needs here in this room today. As we, Lord, we just lift our hands to you. Lord, hear our prayers, know our hearts. Help us, Lord, to make good decisions. Help us to focus and center our lives around you, Lord, and help us to love our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to learn your grace and extend your mercy as you have so graciously extended it to us. Heal us, Lord, from the inside out. Teach us and show us your ways. As we know, Lord, that we have much to learn. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to speak to us, continue to embrace us, and help us to see what, where, and how we can be your church in the community and in our world. Help us to give with generous hearts. Help us to love with all we have. And Lord, we give all these things to you and so much more. In our feeble attempts, Lord, to serve you, we know that we need your guidance. We need your light to shine upon our path. We need to look into your eyes and to see your face and to follow that call. Lord, as each of us are called to your side. I pray that you will minister to us this day through your holy word and through your words and not mine. And we give you all praise, Lord, all honor, and all glory. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. We now have a special number that we're looking forward to. Thank you so much again, Chad.
Again, as it was last week, continuing on with some of the parables. Matthew 13 is where I'm reading from the New International Version, verses 24 through 30, and then skipping to 36 through 43. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And then skipping down to 36, the parable of the weeds explained. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear."
I need new batteries.
Are you turned on?
I was turned on, so it must be dead.
So here we have it.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
There we go. There we go. Thank you. We're back in business here, I guess. People were probably thinking that was too good to be true, that they wouldn't have to hear me. Today we're going to talk about the parable of the weeds and the wheat. But first I'm going to tell you about a little miracle this morning. I think it was a miracle. Hollis and I talked about this on the way here. Last week I think I told you we had prayed for all of the crops that had been ravaged, so many of them in the storm. And we've had various storms since then, haven't we? But in that particular storm, one particular field, I've never seen a cornfield as flat in my entire life. It was absolutely flat. As a young child, I was in a tornado, and I saw quite a bit of devastation, but never anything like that particular field. This morning, as we are, I mean, they had talked about just coming in and using it for chop because it was that flat. We drove by this morning, and I believe every single one of those stalks is standing right up straight. I have never seen anything like it in my entire life. And I believe that was God's healing touch. How can it not be? I've never seen anything like that. And I said, we have to take a picture of that on the way home because we've got the before picture. Then we're going to have the after picture. And we're, you know, you can just see God's hand at work. This was the first year that that young man has owned this piece of property. And he worked very hard to save his money and to buy it. And this was his first crop. And we just kept thinking how discouraging that must be for that young man to look out there and see that devastation. But you know what? God restored that. And that's the ability he has to restore us to. And this whole message of the healthy plants and the weeds, the Lord is telling us here that life throws weeds into the midst of our best laid intentions. Doesn't life do that? The world does that. And those weeds sometimes, I heard a girl say the other day, we were at the 4-H fair, and she said, you know, we just walked through, and she said, some of the weeds were over my head, and sometimes we feel like the weeds are over our head. And we're just these little shoots down here just fighting and trying to make our way up so we can see the sunshine above it all. We're doing the best we can. But the enemy always tries to get the best of us. And we have to continue looking up and seeing that sunshine on us. And just like that cornfield, the Lord, I know, has the ability to restore. I see a couple of ladies here this morning that he's restoring, and we're so thankful. I know many of you have had surgeries and procedures, and some of you are awaiting those procedures right now. Some of you are waiting for test results. Some of you have had just terrible things in your life that God has restored you from. He's embraced you. He's taken you under his wing for the time that you needed to heal. And I'm a testimony to the fact that there is nothing that he can't heal. There is nothing that he won't do to bring you to himself so that you can serve him and love him and know him. And no matter how much bad the world throws at us, no matter what comes in our life, no matter what diagnosis you get, no matter what you feel like you're fighting this morning, the Lord has the ability to shine his light through all of those weeds around us and to show us the light before our path. We have not been forsaken. I remember going across the road when I was growing up, and the river was just across the road and down a hill, down an embankment, and my grandpa took me over there many, many times fishing. And I was just a little girl, and he'd say, just hold on to my hand. And sometimes I couldn't see anything but his legs moving because the weeds were tall. And he'd say, just hang on to my hand. And he'd be carrying everything. He'd have the equipment and the poles and everything we needed. And before we'd leave, my grandma would give him instructions. She'd say, don't you let her get in that water. Don't you let her get in that water. She was always afraid I was going to drown or something bad was going to happen. And he'd say, I won't. And as soon as we'd get there, we'd roll up our pant legs and where would we go? That's what grandpas do, right? That's what grandpas do. But sometimes we can't see much in front of us or anything in front of us, but yet we know that one that's got a hold of our hand is not going to lead us astray. He's going to get us there, and he's going to allow us to maybe get there. I can't tell you that I never got there without a few scratches, maybe. We get a few scratches, don't we? Sometimes you get a few bruises. Sometimes you might fall down a little bit, and good people pull you back up. You brush yourself off. You keep on going. We've all been there. We've all been there. But because we've been there, let me tell you what we get to do. We get to be the one that pulls other people up. We get to be the one that says, trust me, I've been there. Trust me, I know a little bit of what you're feeling. Just like caregivers, some of you have been caregivers over the years of parents and maybe aunts or uncles or maybe even a neighbor or a friend. And you've been there to help them. You've made meals. You've brought meals. You've, you know, got them out of bed and helped them to the restroom or helped them have a cup of tea at the table. You've given them a helping hand. And sometimes it can be overwhelming when you're the caregiver. But I've come to believe that being the one being cared for is sometimes way harder to release those freedoms. I had a gentleman that did driving for a living in my other church. He drove for a living and now has had to give up that in his life because of his health. It's harder being that one that has to give up, that has to depend on someone else. And he was always a faithful person to drive people to the doctor's office or to take them a meal or if they needed medication picked up at the store and deliver that. And whatever was needed, all they knew they had to do was pick up the phone and call this person, and he would be there to do that. And now he's the one that has to be on the receiving end. And when we're the ones on the receiving end, it's not as easy, is it? It's way more difficult to be on the receiving end. It takes a lot of trust, takes a lot of courage, takes a lot of faith. That's what Jesus Christ is for us. No matter if we are the person in his kingdom that's doing the caregiving or if we're the ones that need the caregiving, the Lord is our guide. And because of where we've been, we know that he's not going to leave us, even on the days when we think the weeds have overtaken us, even on the days when we can't see the sun as bright as we can on other days. We know that he's there. Jesus decodes those seven images this morning. The sower, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, of course, himself. The field being the world, and the good seed, the children of the kingdom. Christians, people that are following Christ. The weeds, those that choose not to believe. The enemy, which is the devil, Satan himself. The harvest, the close of the age. And the reapers, the angels. So many times, he kills us in story form. As I was reading to prepare for this, I was reading that he had spent all day telling stories, one story after another, that he might share lessons. Some of them he decoded, and some he kind of left for us to ponder and think about and search and explore. We are the children of the kingdom, which means we are heirs to that wonderful inheritance, and especially just being in Jesus' presence when we enter into his kingdom. And so while we're here, before we enter into those gates, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of people to care for and feed. We have a lot of people that need help. And while this isn't always the most pleasant sermon to be teaching or scripture to have to be thinking, because it's all about us examining ourselves, isn't it? It's not about me preaching to you that you need to do this. It's about us examining within our own selves what we need to do and where we are in this whole story. What is the intended effect today? Where are we in all of this story? We know that there were all of these elements. And what part do we play here? We know that life can be brutal. Life as a Christian isn't easy. How long, O Lord, how long? We ask that question. We see things around us that we don't necessarily like to see. We see people suffering. We see people worrying. We see people stressed out. We see people wondering where their next meal would come from. But in all of this, in all of us, the good news is that we have Christ. We don't claim to understand it all. I believe he asks us for each and every moment to put our hand in his, that he can show us the way and teach us how to walk when we feel like we're stumbling, to make our path clear and straight. My grandpa would always let go ahead of me because he would knock down the weeds ahead, the big brush or the picker bushes that were on the side, the thorns, thistles. He would walk ahead so he could knock those things down out of the way so that we could walk through. Jesus lights our path in that way as well, so we don't get lost, so we're not wandering around feeble and ill-equipped. He says, trust in me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct the path. It's hard for us to sit back and wait, isn't it? For anything. It's hard for us to wonder. And it can all be just too much when we try to figure it out all at once. The Lord asks us, I believe, over and over again to put it in his hands. Let his arms embrace us and let his wisdom lead us, guide us. Help our paths to become straight. You know, some will say that there are many ways to heaven. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So trust that I'm the boss. I'm the leader. I'm the one you need to hear and follow. When we've got a lot of noise around us, it's hard to hear, isn't it, sometimes? But we got to weed out all the other voices and hear God's voice. Because there is a day that comes that there will be an unmixing. That's not for me to judge by far and by long. I'm not the judge or the jury, but I know the one who is. And he's going to do a lot of unmixing. At the close of the age, Scripture tells us Christ will send his angels to do the separating. And his children will, he will know their voice and they will know his. And there will be a great separation. There will be a final judgment, and that's why it's so hard, I guess, to have to preach on that, because we know as much as we long for the chaos to end, always at the end, it's kind of hard, isn't it? And we wonder, there's lots of questions we wonder over the years. I've heard people chat in Bible studies about folks that have been Christian people since they were earliest recall of early childhood days, and then there's people that live their whole life and really don't care, and on their deathbed they'll see Christ. We don't understand how all of that is, but I trust that Jesus knows every one of us. The day and the moment we truly gave our lives to him, we truly saw him for who he was. I know he knows that. And I know he knows our hearts. He knows our intentions. Sometimes we have good intentions that turn out not the way we plan. But he knows our hearts. And that's where the truth lies, right? He looks inside us, just like we have all those unspoken needs this morning and many others that are probably listening in on the radio that have unspoken needs there, and you're wondering if you even have the right words to put to them, to ask or to share. And you know Jesus knows your heart. If you ask him to look into your heart and to see what's there, he wants to relieve you of that today. You know, there's times in my life when maybe I've had to learn the hard way, but I've had to say, Lord, just take this. I can't take it. I don't know the answer. I don't know what to do with it. I want to do what you want me to do, but that's not always the easy thing to do. And I want it to be the easy way. I don't know about you, but we have to trust that through all these weeds and all this jumbled up things that we have in our life, that he's going to restore us. He's going to bring that corn, just like he brought that corn back up. I almost want to get out of the car and go through that ditch and walk over there and see what's at the bottom there, because I just hardly can believe the look of it. Just when we think we've been mowed over by a bulldozer, right? Just when we think we can't get down any further, he says, come back to me. Let me take you. And from that low place that you were, you're going to be able to share that testimony and say, I know God has not left the house because he did this for me. He is still here. He will always be here. And we praise his holy name. The parable that Jesus tells us today, this parable of the weeds and the wheat, this is actually a parable of hope. It's a parable of encouragement, because we have something to look forward to, something that he has prepared, not something with our earthly hands we prepared, but something the Lord has prepared for us. Because when that final harvest comes, we, his children, are going to be gathered in, and we're going to receive the inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ, the glories of the age to come, being in his presence, being with Jesus forever. Reminds us of a song that we sing usually a little bit more towards the end and the beginning, end of summer, beginning of fall. Even, Lord, so quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy garner to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home. Thank you, Jesus. Just get us through the weeds. We love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can have our ushers come forward at this time, we will give our gifts back to the Lord, those that he so well deserves. Heavenly Father, God of dreams and visions, we offer you our gifts this day in gratitude and praise for your angels who come to bring us your blessings. May this offering be a sign of our commitment to be a blessing to all of the peoples of the earth. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is page 77.
Thank you.
Amen and amen. I don't want this to end. I don't want you to stop. Oh boy. We have a responsive benediction today. Keep your eyes on the gates of heaven. Fix your gaze on the entry to the Holy One. Wherever you are on life's journey, take time to mark sacred encounters with joy. Go as children of light, children of the living God. Let us sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds," as our closing. Have a blessed and wonderful week. Thank you for being with us today. Amen and amen.